This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the MLB Extras Kansas City Royals podcast. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Royals beat reporter Jeffrey Flanagan. Jeffrey, been watching what's been going on over in Japan with the contingent of MLB All-Stars, making the rounds over there and playing some games. And Whit Merrifield of the Royals has been particularly active. Him and Rhys Hoskins kind of put together a little travel video. In fact, you see them wearing kimonos and trying sushi and enjoying the sights and sounds of Japan. So that's been cool to watch. But over here, across the pond in these United States, there's a lot of Whit Merrifield discussion in the trade market. And a lot of curiosity over what direction the Royals take with him. Now, they have him under their contractual control through 2022. And we're talking about a guy who just seems to be coming into his own. He can play all over. He was ranked 10th in wins above replacement in 2018, led the American League in hits and stolen bases. So a very valuable player for them, but also a very valuable player in the trade market. Let's kind of discuss where that might lead. What's your gut feeling as to whether the Royals move this guy this winter?
Yeah, and actually he led the major leagues in hits and stolen bases, which is even better. So, that has been a hot topic here, and it's been a hot topic for over a year because last year at the winter meetings, Dayton made it pretty clear, Dayton Moore, the general manager, that basically anybody was available but Salvador Perez. And that tone kind of changed as the season went on, and Whit again put together a terrific year. And I think the same reason that he's so attractive to other teams, the 4 years of club control, how cheap he is right now, the fact that he can play 5-6 different positions, which in today's game is probably even more valuable than it used to be, the speed factor, the leadoff factor, he's got pop in his bat. The same reason he's attractive to everyone else is the same reason he's attractive to the Royals. Of course, they're maybe 2-3 years away from really being good again. But do you give up on somebody like that? I think the return would have to be almost ridiculous at this point. The next guy in line, really, to be a middle infielder, Adalberto Mondesi, is going to play short next year, would be Nicky Lopez, who's at Omaha right now. And he doesn't have to go on the 40 till after next season. So I think they'll bring him along slowly. So I really don't think they're in a hurry to move Whit. Dayton made it pretty clear at the trade deadline he was not going to deal him. He's pretty much stayed with that same stance. He's a good leader on this team. He's 29, going to be 30 soon. They need that kind of leadership as they usher in this new youth movement. You just can't, as Anthony, you just can't have 25, 22-year-olds out there. You have to have some veteran leadership, and he's kind of evolved into that role. So I gut feeling, I don't think they're going to move him.
Well, I know literally where Merrifield comes from, former ninth-round pick out of University of South Carolina. But where did this guy come from, Jeffrey? Because, he is a late bloomer at the major league level. As I said, just coming off his age 29 season. And, a guy who wasn't a big name in their farm system prior to coming to the big leagues.
No, as a matter of fact, he went unprotected in the Rule 5 draft twice. Really, the transition for him happened a little over 2 years ago, and I had a lot of fun writing about this in spring training a couple years ago. He's the guy who went on that crazy diet where, he would eat 9 eggs for breakfast and a pound of bacon, and he ate basically like 6 or 7 times a day, pretty decent meals, and then worked out 3 times a day. So he put on about 25 to 30 pounds of upper body muscle, and he became a guy who was not a power threat in the minors, was not an extra base threat, to a guy who could hit 10 to 15 to 20 homers at the big league level with a decent slug, and also kept his speed. Just kind of transformed his body. And it took a little while for him to grow into that new body and try to experience what it was going to be like to have that extra strength. And we saw a little bit of it a couple years ago, more last year. Now here we are with a guy who is a terrific leadoff guy. He's not going to lead the league in stolen bases again, I can tell you that, because Mondesi, who had 32 steals in 70 games, is going to, and even with that, admitted that he's going to blow right by him.
I know a lot of sports writers on the eggs and bacon diet, so I don't know what the big deal is about Merrifield's diet. We try that all year, Jeffrey.
We don't quite work out nearly as much, I don't think.
We're not offsetting any of it. So it's interesting because, you know, coming off the age 29 season, entering the age 30 season, I think he'll retain his value the next couple of years, but it is a good question. By the time they are good again, where will Whit Merrifield be on his aging curve? So it's.
Yeah, I think it's a young 29, if that makes sense. I don't, he really takes care of himself, you know, kind of the way Alex Gordon does. I don't know if we're going to see the same type of decline that we've seen a lot of guys in their 30s. I just think it's still kind of new to him. You know, he doesn't have a lot of major league miles on that body. So I don't think we're going to see that same decline.
Where do you think the Royals are at as far as a timetable goes? I know, you know, it's hard to pin Dayton Moore into a corner and nail down a year where he thinks they'll be competitive again. But what do you think? Kind of assessing the system as it stands right now, where do you think they're at?
I think actually they're probably a little bit more ahead than he originally thought. With the emergence of guys like Ryan O'Hearn and Hunter Dozier last year, and of course Mondesi, who just kind of blew us all away with the second half he had and finally started to show all those five tools we've been hearing about for so long. They've got a lot of young players, a pretty young, deep rotation. You know, the guys like Jorge Lopez and Brad Keller and Heath Fillmyer and, you know, Brett Phillips, if he can hit a little bit in center field, it starts to look like a team that could compete maybe in 2020. I think, you know, they were 58-104 this year. I think next year they make a jump into the 70s maybe, maybe low 70s. And by 2020, I kind of think they're going to be hovering around 500 and be pretty interesting. And they had that, as you know, Anthony, they had a really pretty good draft class last year with Brady Singer and all those guys. And you know, those guys are college pitchers. It might only take them a year or two before they're up to the big league. So, you know, 2020, maybe a stretch, but 2021 for sure.
And because we're looking ahead with the Royals, it's, we of course focus on the bodies down on the farm. And you spent some time recently talking to some guys in the Arizona Fall League. And you had an interesting Q&A with Nick Heath. He's 24 years old, left-handed hitting speedster. Taking the 16th round of the 2016 draft, and kind of like Merrifield, he can kind of play all over. He plays all over the outfield, has some speed, gets on base at a good clip. And he has an interesting background as well.
He does. I mean, his mother, Kimberly, competed in the 1988 Olympic trials in 100-meter hurdles and lost out in that, but was a terrific sprinter in her day. And he definitely got that speed gene from her. And it's kind of funny. He finally, you know, built up enough nerve to challenge her to a race when he was 14 years old as a freshman. And they had just kind of completed a two mile jog together. And he just kind of said, "Hey, we're about, you know, 50 yards from home. What do you say we, you know, sprint home?" And she goes, "I'll embarrass you." And he said, "No, you won't." And so of course they race and he wins and you know, she won't admit that he actually beat her. And it's just kind of a funny story. And he's kind of the type of player that, as you know, Dayton Moore and his staff really covet, you know, the kind of the Jerod Dyson, Terrence Gore types, you know, really fast. I think he's probably more advanced offensively than either of those two. So he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. He can really play good defense. You know, he's already stolen 100 bags in the minors and 2.5 professional seasons. So definitely a guy that is on our radar.
Another guy you spoke with out in Arizona, you know, so much of the Royals championship core was built around that Zach Greinke trade with the Brewers. And now the Royals have a guy named Brewer Hicklin, their number 21 prospect. You spoke with him a bit about, he had kind of a strange 2018.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he was actually held back. He's a former UAB football player who ended up having to walk on baseball. He later got a scholarship back, but Tough kid, can play outfield, center field as well, good athlete. It was held back in spring training last year to start the season and was really pretty bummed about it and didn't get up to Lexington, I think, for at least another month. First time, you know, he told me it's the first time he's ever been told no or had a door shut in his face. And I think it really concerned him, but ended up having a really terrific season. Actually, I got promoted to high A in the middle of the season. Then when Sully Matias got hurt, he was put back at Lexington and loved it. I mean, he ended up hanging out with that crew that won the league championship, and he had a lot of fun. But he's another guy, you know, that's – I think he's number 21 on the Pipeline's prospect list. But, you know, who knows which one of these guys, you know, emerge over the next 2 years and maybe become a factor in the outfield.
All right, Jeffrey Flanagan is all over Royals topics, both present and future. So we'll continue to check in with him throughout the offseason. Jeffrey, thanks for doing this.
Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.